Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the gift of music. We're so grateful that we can hear your words again today. And we ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like to read the back of the bulletin, especially when I'm getting stuck on something and I think, well, maybe I can get some inspiration from back there. I didn't today. Now, I'm not going to preach on the gospel lesson because the gospel lesson is the Beatitudes, and in March, all during Lent, on Wednesday evenings, Pastor Kerry, myself, and Joy Zakcheski are going to be dealing with the Beatitudes. When I read, it may be simply enough to read the words of Jesus and to let them wash over us and realize that in hearing these words, we are supremely blessed. Well, I got rude. Because I don't know the last time I had kicked up a party when somebody was mean to me and was persecuting me. When I'm crying because I'm sad, I don't feel blessed. And yet Jesus' words talk about being blessed when we're grieving, being blessed when we're meek, being blessed when we're persecuted. So stay tuned for March when we talk about being blessed for all that stuff. So I was happy when I read the Corinthians passage because it kind of explained this when Paul said, the gospel makes no sense. It's crazy talk to most people, and I understand that. It was crazy talk to the Jews to tell the Jewish people that the Messiah, the man who was going to come and reign over the house of David, the man who was going to rule with a rod of iron, the man who was going to take care of all the enemies of Israel and create peace, was the same man who was killed, executed by Rome. For Jewish people, that's crazy. For the Greeks, it was crazy because the Greek people felt that God was way out there. God, the supreme ruler of the universe, really didn't have time for any of us. And God was to be worshipped from afar. And here we say that God chose to limit God's self in human form, let himself be killed, and then raised from the dead. And this Corinthian church had a mix of people in it, people who were Jews, who were Greeks, who were people who heard the gospel message, and it rang true to them that God himself had come, and that God loved them so much that he gave his only son. And so for them, this message came alive to them. And what was so amazing about the Corinthian church was they had people from every walk of life there. This was a city church, and people who were slaves were there, people who were of low estate were there, people who were had wealth were there. It was a wonderful mix of people. But you know, when the gospel calls people, when we are called into the church of Jesus Christ, it's very difficult not to bring our own culture and the world in with us. And that's what the Corinthian people did. Although they were called by the gospel, they started to see themselves the way their world saw them. And so people with money were given higher positions. People with who were thought to be nobility were respected and revered in the church, and the poor folks were left out. And there were divisions on theological lines. Some said, well, you know, this teacher is better than that teacher. And then there were people who were so disrespectful of each other. And they were taking the values of their culture and bringing it in to church. And don't we do the same thing? We take our American values and bring them into the church. I remember as a young pastor hearing, well, pastor, you know that the church is a business. and we have to run it like a business. And I thought, God forbid. Now, we do have to have good common sense, and we do have to use our minds when we're in the church and conducting the affairs of the church, but when we use the same values as our American or whatever culture we're from and we bring it into the church, we tend to water down the gospel, because the gospel upends our culture. And what I would like to suggest to us today is, rather than us bringing the culture into the church, why not bring the gospel values into our community? And what we talk about on Sunday, start living on Monday. And one of the things that Paul mentioned that I think is so valuable to every age, he said, you know, folks, none of you were very wise. He was talking about the people at Corinth. He said, not a lot of you had any standing in life, but here you are in the church and you're somebody. God made you somebody. And he said, don't use that as a way to boast about yourself, but boast in Christ your Lord. God makes us somebody. I was thinking of my grandfather. My grandfather was an immigrant. He came to this country with his family at the turn of the last century in the early 1900s. Grandpa was illiterate, not only in the English language, but also in the Italian language. He had never gone to school. And he was a very quiet man. He was an itinerant laborer. The only work he could get in New York City was tending grounds on a golf course. He had no other skill. Born to my grandmother and grandfather were 11 children, but 8 survived. And he tried to raise these 8 children without much as in the way of any kind of education. He and my grandmother went to church faithfully, but the church that they were involved with was one that mirrored the culture, and they were nobodies. They were people that could not give to the church. They couldn't contribute much. And so they would come, and they wanted so much to know about God, and they just felt like they were shut out. But one day, my grandmother was brought to a storefront mission in Manhattan. And in that mission, they had ratty chairs, and everyone looked like them. And they walked in, and they were instantly taken into as loved and cared for. They went on, my grandmother and grandfather, once they came to know the gospel and that they were somebodies in the gospel, they and a few other poor Italian immigrant families founded a church on Staten Island and built it out of nothing. Not only that, my grandfather, who could not read a word, would stand up on Sunday morning and read the scripture. And I asked my mother how on earth he could do that. She said Grandma would read him the passages and he'd memorize them and then get up and speak. When I was 17, my grandmother died, and I went to the funeral, and the place was jam-packed. Now, my grandfather had died many years before. Grandma had been in a nursing home out of state for 5 or 6 years. The place was packed, and a man got up, the preacher, and he said, "When I was a little boy, I watched your grandmother and grandfather, and it was because of their influence that I'm a pastor today." God makes somebodies out of nobodies. That's the message that we need to bring out into this community. Those are the values. They're not the values of our country. Our country says, you know, you've got to do what you can, and you might get ahead, but we'll celebrate you when you get ahead. And the gospel says we'll celebrate you when you're down and out. God makes somebodies out of nobodies. And that's the message that we need to bring, not today to folks here, that's fine, but tomorrow morning, let's be Monday morning Christians and bring this message to people who are desperate to hear that they're somebody in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you make us into somebodies. And it's not because of our talents, it's not because of who we are or how we were born, but because of your grace lavished on us. Help us to be Monday morning Christians and bring your message of grace and peace and love to all. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.